Hi, Nick Nichols. It's been fun when you've come here to speak before on everything from the Congo to your photographs, and we're very excited that you'll be here on Thursday, October 17th, partly to talk about elephants and partly to share your photographs in your new book, Earth to Sky.
You know, I'm going to show a giant tree in the snow. We're going to talk about elephants and why they need to be protected and not killed for ivory. And then we're going to finish up with this magnificent lion project that I just finished, which is where we broke out all stops and did everything we could to photograph them in a different way.
Well, Nick, you know what's fun about you coming in person is it does add some life and spirit to the things you're famous for, which mostly is National Geographic Magazine. I think almost everybody listening probably saw the recent article that you did the photographs and Dave Quammen did the story about the lions in Serengeti. But as you'll certainly show that night, there's a lot more than the, call it, dozen or two dozen photos that make the Yellow Magazine.
Yeah. Well, the 13 that got published came out of the 200,000 that I did. So it's kind of a brutal process, but it's not really the numbers. It's what they add up to. And the cool thing about having Quammen write both pieces is that the follow-up to my story, which was the hook, was lions surviving in Africa and how hard, how difficult that is on the people that have to live with them. So, it's always an additive. We're always looking to set the hook with beautiful stuff, but then say, look, if we're going to share this planet, we got to really get down to it.
Well, and I know you've been at it a long time, and tell us a bit about your recent work with elephants, because they've been making headlines. I know it's sad for everybody from you to Ian Douglas Hamilton that ivory's back on the market again.
Yeah, it's funny. I was actually on an assignment in a wilderness in Chad when it started. I was there with Fay, and he had said, look, you got to come to this incredible place that we found. It's an unbelievable ecosystem. There's herds of 1,000 elephants. And that's what drew me in there. But while we were there is when the ivory crisis started. It was 2006. And this is a place called Zakuma in Chad. And there were 3,600 elephants in that park when we were there. They were killed down to 300. And the tusks are tiny. The big males that are left, they know where to hide. They hide right at park headquarters. There's only three or four of them. And everybody else, females, children, everything else were just slaughtered. And that was 2006, and that got my head going. I'd done a lot of work with forest elephants, and I had that, and I thought, and Ian, it's funny, you say Ian Douglas Hamilton, he'd been telling me, you got to come to a place where elephants are safe so you can see what they're really like, because I'd only worked with elephants that were really afraid of man. And then I went to Samburu and got to work inches away from elephants that had, we knew their whole history, the family background, all of that. And then I followed that with the Orphan Project, which kind of tied the room together, because there I could actually touch the elephants and see how traumatized they were. And that's what glued this book, Earth to Sky, together. In Earth to Sky, the title is actually a homage to a French writer, Roman Gary, that wrote a book called Roots of Heaven. But that was the English translation, and I ask a lot of French people, and they always tell me, well, no, it really means something different than that, and we can't describe it. And it was his take on elephants and how much they mean just to be on the planet, just to be walking around. That the world is not whole without elephants walking freely. And there's a lot of ways to spin that, and I'm going to talk about that when I'm there. It's what you get the sense of is that elephants are totally integral to the ecosystem. If you lose elephants, just like you losing wolves in Yellowstone, you're going to lose everything. And we were going to let them. We're going to let them go for ivory, a useless commodity, if we don't all help the Africans deal with this.
It's a remarkable story. It really is, and it's remarkable that in many areas you still see truly wild elephants. Our zoo's involved down in the South Rift Valley, where the Maasai still live a pastoral life with no fences in between the parks. And you go out in the morning, and there's a spot where you were the night before, and elephants have come right through.
Where is that place that you guys are active?
It's near Lake Magadi, down by the border.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a good.
I did some work with the Tarangire elephants at the end of this project in Tanzania because I was kind of stealing time from the lions, and I saw there is another one of those ecosystems where they leave the protected area in the rain and go out and cause a lot of trouble, and that and the people all need help, and I think that's probably what's going on in your area.
So, Nick, I have to ask you one question because the last time we had Chris Johns come to town on his own, unbidden, from the stage, he said, Nick Nichols is the best photographer at National Geographic and the best photographer in the history of National Geographic. And I thought, man alive, I bet he gets some trouble back at home on that.
Well, he wouldn't. There's certain people he wouldn't say that in front of, but, you know, I like the sound of that, but, you know, I'm a hard worker. I'll tell you that. I produce. And I know what Chris is getting at. All my stories are really popular, and, you know, I just won't let go. I get onto something, and I'm like a wild dog on it. But I don't want that accolade because, you know, being first or greatest or mostest is scary to me. I really want the pictures to do all the talking, and I am coming to the end, you know. I'm 61 and I'm worn out, and I'm trying to go out on top. This tour that I'm doing, where I come to Cincinnati and go to my hometown, and we're going all over the country, is helping me decide what to do next. Whether I'm going to become an activist, I can't be an activist and a cameraman at the same time. I when I'm working, I feel compelled to just stay with it. But right now, I'm at a crossroads.
Well, I know artistically you've had a big impact because I remember what now might be a couple of decades ago, some of your very active shots that began a whole different style for National Geographic magazine. And, of course, early on, that rocked the world. And now you see that style in many types of photography, including sports photography.
It's embarrassing that you bring it up because when you start out, you're just hungry and you're trying to make a mark, and then you realize one day you made a mark and you're trying to figure out what to do. I'm so happy that, like, with the Mega Transect, all those parks were created. This book right now, Earth to Sky, is going to the Clinton Global Initiative, is given to 25 African leaders, you know, to try to the strategy we're taking is a political strategy to get the African leaders to tell the Chinese, look, you want these minerals, you want to exploit us, come on, but you can't take our elephants with you. You know, you just can't do that. And we'll tie some economic development into that. I'm talking about the United States. Mm-hmm. There has to be a strategy because on their own, elephants are not going to survive. They've got to be made valuable enough in the big picture that they don't get kind of totally marginalized by this wealth that's in China right now. The truth is we should be discussing how difficult it is for an African to have an elephant in their garden. That's what we should be talking about. But we can't focus on that when ivory, which is, but it really is a useless commodity. It really has no value. And I know I'm preaching to the choir, but that's to you. But I know your audience might. I want somebody to tell me where ivory has any value at all. With Chinese medicine, you can sometimes with tigers and stuff, you can have that argument. But I can't find one for ivory.
Mm-mm. And you alluded to the important question, and you've been involved in it, and our zoo's been involved in it. As I said, we are in Kenya. This question of community-based conservation, because conservation is not just about saving elephants or rhinos or other endangered species, but whether it's Yellowstone or it's southern Kenya or Tanzania, can people live with wildlife?
I live in the woods in Virginia, and the coyotes are moving in. Maybe the mountain lion's going to migrate. But right now, people would go crazy if there was a bobcat in their backyard. You know, and I'm like, think about having a pride of 15 lions back there or an elephant. And that's what we're asking the Africans to do, and the population has exploded. So, this can work. It just takes a global effort. We can't demonize the poacher. You know, he's doing it for a buck in general. It's the buyer. It's the middleman that we really got to take a very clear, conscious effort at this. And where I come in is my pictures are used in those battles. They're used behind closed doors. They're used for the masses with National Geographic. And I couldn't have done anything better with my life than that. And I'm very happy to be, you know, where I'm at with all this.
It seems like one glimmer of hope is that of the nations on Earth, if the Chinese central government said, that's it, we are done with ivory, I think they could actually pull it off.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think they could hold it if the sanctions were kind of taken away. We did an undercover story last year that Brent Sturton and Brian Christie did that traced a lot of ivory back to religion and mm-hmm. Buddhist blessing things. And you know, but it's clear that it is a sanctioned process, that there's factories, there's giant stores. $75,000 can go down for a carved piece. And, you know, the $20 the guy gets to shoot the elephant, that, you know, we just got to stop it because we have really hit another crisis, mm-hmm. which we didn't expect. We really didn't expect this one to come around. And it's taken the air out of everything because I'm repeating myself, but we have to circle back on really how hard it is for elephants to be out there in those open spaces. They're not going to stay in parks unless you build incredible fences, and if you do that, they're going to destroy their habitat. So mm-hmm. we got really big questions for elephants and with lions. The two most reviled creatures in Africa are the ones we're going to talk a lot about mm-hmm. when I come to Cincinnati, lions and elephants. We love them. Hard to live with.
Well, but it'll be a good evening and a good discussion, and I'm delighted you're coming back. So
I can't wait to see you. I bet there better be some gray hair.
Oh, honey, there's not much hair, and what there is gray.
Okay, good.
But we'll have fun with it.
Appreciate it, Sam. I can't wait to see you.
My guest has been National Geographic photographer Nick Nichols. For Cincinnati Edition, I'm Thane Maynard.